City Planning Commission public hearing dated Tuesday, December 14th. It is now 6:01. It is now called to order. We'll establish a quorum. Can I ask for a roll call, please, starting from my left?
Linda Maggard, present.
John Thomas, present.
Gloria Fleming, present.
Virginia Klassen, present.
We do have a quorum. Now let's stand now for the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Grimer, please assist us in that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Grimer. Okay, this is a continuance of the public hearing for last month, introduction of draft zoning codes and map changes. I will now read the preliminary commission procedures statement for legislative matters. And each of the bear with me, this is the same thing I read last month. In each of the legislative agenda items on the attached agenda, the following procedures shall govern this hearing. The Planning Commission will declare ex parte communications, including site visits, as well as actual and potential conflicts of interest. Those in attendance will have an opportunity to challenge these disclosures. Should we declare any at this point? I have time to declare on my notes, but...
If the Planning Commission has any new conflicts that they did not reveal the last time or new contacts since the last hearing, you would do that now, and then you would offer an opportunity for the public to challenge anything you've said.
Okay. I'll start to say that I drove by, I think once, the piece of property that is located just to the east of... the Shell and the McDonald's property. Drove by it at a slow rate of speed, glancing at around everywhere I went, and then went about my way. That was it. That was my site visit. Anybody else?
I have no conflict of interest. I live in the area, so I pass it, but that's it.
Okay.
I don't have an opening to declare. No? And I went by in a fast transfer.
Don't your McDonald's.
Okay, so a planning staff representative will outline the application and the approval criteria. This information is also outlined in the staff report, which is available to the public. This planning commission will hear testimony, receive evidence, and consider the testimony, evidence, and information already submitted into the record. Testimony and evidence at these hearings must be directed toward the criteria set forth in the notice of the hearing and listed in the respective staff report. In addition, testimony may be directed to any other criteria in the comprehensive land use plan of the city or land use regulations which any person believes applies. The applicant has the burden of proving that his or her application meets all the applicable criteria. The failure on the part of any person to raise an issue with sufficient specificity to afford the Planning Commission parties to this proceeding an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Boards of Appeal on that issue. That's stating right there in plain language that you have to say it right now before you go to LUBA, Land Use Board of Appeal. You have to say your piece tonight before that happens. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues related to conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issues precludes any action for damages in circuit court. Each hearing will be conducted in the following order. The staff will summarize the issues raised by the application and review the applicable criteria. The applicant will then have an opportunity to make a presentation and offer testimony and evidence. Other persons supporting the application will then be given opportunity to present testimony. Next, opponents will then be given a chance to make a presentation. After both proponents and opponents have made a presentation, the applicant will be allowed to make a rebuttal presentation. The Planning Commission may offer an opportunity for opponents to respond to the applicant's rebuttal. At the conclusion of this hearing, the staff will be afforded an opportunity to make any closing comments. The Planning Commission may limit the time period for presentations, and I don't think that's going to be a problem here this evening. So, we will now open the public hearing. Staff, do you have a report for us?
Yes. At our last public hearing on the zoning ordinances, we continued the public hearing on a specific issue, and that was the creation of a light industrial zone. And so tonight we'll talk about what was accomplished in our work session earlier to address that issue and allow the public to comment on that following the procedures that you've lined out. This is a legislative matter, so it's a little more open in terms of commenting, and because we have such a small public audience tonight, I don't think we need to have
Deborah, could you please speak up? I'm not hearing too much.
Sure. We're continuing the hearing from last time, but on a specific issue, which is the creation of a light industrial zone. And so with that, I'd like to go through what we did in our work session. And with your permission, I'll just proceed.
Certainly.
Yeah, are there enough of those things?
There should be. Hopefully. I didn't make a lot for the audience, but
we did make a few changes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We made some changes, so I want to be sure and catch those.
What we did is take a look at Bend's development code and what they've done for their standard industrial zone, which they call their IG zone, general industrial, which is similar to what we have for our I zone, which is the big pink area. Last time we heard from the audience that we needed a light industrial zone. So when you look at the Bend chart, you can see what's permitted and what's conditional and what's not allowed. And so we went through each of these uses, industrial uses, residential uses, and in the commercial uses, we made some changes. We pulled out large animal veterinary clinics, and instead of allowing those outright in the light industrial zone, we're going to require a conditional use permit because that would be more in keeping with our discussions in the Planning Commission earlier in this process. We also added in outdoor commercial uses building and garden supply, but also farm supply. And so that would be a conditional use in the IL zone. When you continue on to page 2 in our comparison on this chart, we looked at various other commercial uses, and when we got down to heavy equipment sales, which would be like a Pape, heavy equipment sales, things like that, or, you know, United leasing, things like that, we said instead of permitted, that should be conditional. Because they're bulky, they're not necessarily good transitional uses, so we need a little extra review that the conditional use permit process would afford the Planning Commission. When we got down to government facilities, and these are places where the public's generally not received, we felt that those should be not permitted outright in the light industrial zone, but conditionally permitted, because we need to see more information about what's there. And a government facility can be quite small or it can be quite large. But conditional use means it's permitted. It just requires additional review to attach conditions if needed. We felt the same thing for utility facilities, including cell towers, that they sometimes require special siting, so a conditional use permit would be required there instead of it being permitted outright. And that, again, the conditional use permit does not preclude it. It just says it's permitted with special conditions. And that concluded our comparison. We thought these were good uses for a light industrial zone. They included service uses, which are small-scale personal and professional services, up to 2,500 square feet for a coffee shop, deli, dry cleaners, barber shops, salons, banks and financial institutions, and similar uses that you would find in an employment area that are necessary to serve employees, so they don't have to drive to the city core to get services. We also were instructed by the Planning Commission to double check all of this with Lee Smith to make sure that we're not getting in the way of any transactions that are occurring right now in that area. That concludes my report.
Thank you. And James, could you show everybody on this map right there on where the actual road is that separates the light industrial from the general industrial?
Essentially, the pink area right here. So if you follow this yellow, the boundary of the yellow to the north, there's the cutoff line. So it's this rectangular area right here.
And for the record, I think that's MITS.
Yeah, it's not
way
labeled.
And that would be the new light industrial zone.
Correct.
So all those lands that are west of MITS Way in that industrial zone area.
And so what you, if I could add one thing to that, I guess just when we were going through this, when I look at the uses where it became, if you think of permitted use, permitted outright as less cumbersome than a conditional use permit process, it's the uses that where it's in the light industrial where it's things are permitted outright or conditional in the heavier, the general industrial zone is the research and development facilities, the production businesses, which is the IT support centers, those type of call centers, those types of things, the vehicle equipment, boat repair, rental storage, the medical and dental laboratories, the corporate headquarters offices, and the commercial parking lot. Those things are all less cumbersome in terms of the permitting process. So.
I have a quick question. On the where it says light manufacturing, for example, with incidental sales associated with permitted use, I thought we had previously discussed what that percentage would be.
Yes, less than 50%.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, for example, if you had a cabinet builder and they also had an area where they were selling cabinets, the sales area could not be more, it would have to be under 50% of the usage rent. Mm-hmm. If that helps. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay. Excellent. And so we will now go into what would be a proponent of the application. This would be a chance for those that would be in favor of the of these changes that were made.
9773. You're open it to the public?
Yes.
Comment
yeah.
In favor of?
Yeah, you're open. This would be any testimony in favor of the changes in these two separating. We had one industrial zone prior to last meeting. We have two now. And in these, actually separate out the more heavy industrial, to light industrial being everything on MITS Way, west of MITS Way, all light industrial. It coincides with what we have now is Newberry Business Park and smaller lots versus the larger lots would be more your heavy industrial. Do we have any comment that would be in favor of this?
Now, I don't have any problem with it. First off, I don't know what exactly might go in there because I have no idea. But this, I think this gives more options.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the permitted use, Bob, it has a P there, and that means it's permitted outright. It's permitted outright without having to get a conditional use permit,
right,
which is a little more expensive and a little more of a hassle, a little more of a procedure. And so the C being, you have to get a conditional use permit. So when you look on here, we're pretty generous in the usage of the permitting usages.
Much more so than the industrial.
generally, the heavy industrial, which you'll see a lot of on the heavy industrial, which is generally more of an offensive type of use to neighbors, big, loud, noisy, smoky, everything. All that is, there's a lot of conditional uses that have to happen. And, you know, it's in areas to the east that are larger lots anyway and are set aside for that more heavy industrial usage. So it makes sense, and I'd like to say I appreciate you coming to our last meeting. It has revolutionized this little portion of it, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate your listening to me and talking about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, it's great. We welcome the public comment.
She needs a name.
Bob Reed.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Now, there will be time for public, for them to do written comment, correct? Or is it, this is it?
Yes, if the Planning Commission so chooses, they could close this public hearing and allow public comment, written comment.
Well, I'm just
for
thinking you might be able to read it, and if you have any additional.
Yeah, take this home and look at it and consider what we've talked about tonight. And if there's a use missing or something that you think should be expanded upon, let us know.
All right.
That would be important.
I can do that. It's a little difficult for me not knowing what might
exactly. Give
might
you time
happen.
To read.
Yeah.
But,
and you might take up to, 7 days to to do so.
I will take a look at it. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And at this point, we will ask for any opponents to these changes, limiting it to this industrial zone at this time to please make comments. No comment?
Can I just ask a question?
You certainly can.
No, well, you came in late.
I know, I came in late. I know.
We do.
I'm trying to catch up. Do you know if there's... Does this change significantly what's allowed at this point in this
She's... It provides greater flexibility, more of a transition. As planners who have to make sure that the city has adequate inventories of industrial land, this still works. We checked with DLCD, and while they're not completely comfortable with giving up industrial land for things like cafes and support uses, they understand that you can't operate a city without having those services available for employees. You have to manage it. You have to make sure it doesn't get out of hand. And what we're proposing fits well with what they're expecting.
And you did say you're going to check with Lee Smith to make sure there wasn't any conflicts.
Right. Yeah. Lee's been very good to respond electronically. Mm-hmm. So.
She's going to take this to Mr. Smith and check with him. So that's going to kind of confirm what we think may be a good situation, maybe a good fit. That'll be a good opportunity for the manager there to go over this. And will that be within that sub-area?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Okay, so then we will be on time then with our work here. So, Dan, you've got to have something else. I just know you've got to... I know you had one other question.
Maybe Don.
Well, because I haven't done a very good job catching up, but you're addressing only that area you just outlined.
That's the area that on the draft map is shown as just the industrial, but it's going to be separated out as industrial.
Well, just looking at this residential, that isn't a residential zone, that's just residential use.
These are the uses that are
correct.
Correct.
In that area. That's what it looked like.
Again, it.
I don't like necessarily like following Ben's footsteps, but that's okay.
We did tweak it.
Oh, good.
Well, it was better than having it all industrial and it going next to areas where it just doesn't fit. We're looking for areas to
kind of transitional.
Yeah.
Transition.
No, it looks
and.
It, It looks good.
It was kind of jumbled before where it was industrial and then all of a sudden the business park.
Yeah.
And it made sense to expand that area.
Yeah.
Because it's next to commercial.
And I think what we don't see in Bend is that crosshatch area, that transitional area between the residential and industrial board, both north and south there. You don't see a lot of that in Bend. But this is a perfect opportunity to Lapine to not make the same mistakes other larger
sure.
cities have.
Yeah.
And we absolutely don't need to copy everything that Bend has done. And I don't think we have.
It was just a good visual example of a city who has listed almost everything in the IL.
Yep.
And it's close to being, you know, real close to not being able to manage the industrial uses. But in our case, I think we've done a good job.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, if anything that I see on this land map, I see possibly, you know, a lack of larger parcels for the heavy industrial. You know, we don't have a lot of heavy industrial right now, but it seems as though if we open ourselves up as a city to the possibility of more industry, you know, and the ball really starts rolling, I see that Lapine has, you know, for as large as it is, we don't have a real large industrial area. You know, really when you look at it. And
we need to make sure that everybody understands colored maps are so great for this.
Mm-hmm.
Today, this is what we're talking about is industrial, as well as this area that has not been the greatest parcel of land for other uses.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that we have all this land in reserve.
Right.
Which is close to facilities, it's close to other industrial land. So there are big chunks in this area,
yep.
as well as down here, that could be utilized.
Yeah, it could bleed over into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can be converted.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't forget down here, we've said, okay, let's say we use everything up or there's some good reason to expand the UGB for industrial uses, that we do it in this area for industrial.
Mm-hmm. For heavy industrial buying.
Correct.
In the future, yeah.
You know, and it's neat too, geographically, you know, all of our heavy industrial is on the east side
yeah.
of the city. And
yep.
and those that know the prevailing winds, it
yeah.
it's just going to keep on going east.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're set up pretty sweet
yeah.
in this town.
Were you commenting, Deborah, that Ben's light industrial is taking over their industrial park or...
Well,
retail type uses.
Well, it's a really interesting thing because the community said that's what we need, and at the time it made sense. I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but there are lands in Bend should a large industrial developer want to go there. There are ways to accommodate that, but the need closer in town wasn't for big industrial stuff, and it transitioned, as you know, from the lumber, the old mill area, to things that people wanted, which were more commercial opportunities.
And, you know, from an economic standpoint, to have a lot of smaller businesses that were conducive to a light industrial zone is very healthy for your economy. Because if one of those should happen to fail, you don't put your whole town out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, it was important to limit the amount of light industrial land because, as you know, John said, is that you need to preserve what you have left of heavy industrial land for those other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a matter of inventories.
Exactly. Yeah.
I see our industrial land as being highly sought after once the prices in Bend and Redmond go up. It's an opportunity for Lapine. I don't know if Lapine will, you know, encourage that, but it could happen. Lapine could be quite a bit more industrial. We'll see. So, does that close the public comment? I mean, we've got a lot of time, folks.
We don't have to
use
press
it.
And Dan, there's 7 days for written comments, so if something pops up,
You can do that by email as well.
Good, thank you.
John, I'd like to make a comment if I could, please.
Certainly.
I think that the city owes you, the Planning Commission, a debt of gratitude, because I sat in on several of your meetings, as you know, and I know that the decisions that you have made have not been hasty decisions. You thought it out very thoroughly, and I think that you have done a great job, and I sincerely would like to thank you for it. And Deborah, and your group, too, you've done a great job. And from my personal opinion, I'd like to say thank you to all of you.
Well, thank you, Don.
Thank you. Thank you for your public service also. It seems that we have a hard time filling some of the committees.
So don't forget, if you know of anyone who wants to work on the Planning Commission,
we're going
to
be looking for two.
You have two vacancies.
We will.
Come January, we'll have two vacancies out of five. So. And according to our meeting that we had previous to this, we are going to get on a more aggressive search for those two members.
And just so you know, I'm not quitting early. I'm serving my term.
Plus, she agreed to stay.
She actually agreed to extend for 1 month.
Good.
That's
great.
So, we will now entertain a motion to close this public hearing.
I so move.
Moved?
And second.
On the question. Anything on the question? No? Moved and seconded. So moved. This hearing is closed. Now we will deliberate.
There are a couple things you can do. And because we've had extensive discussions where we've all kept notes, and you've directed staff to make changes in various areas, you should give us time to produce a final report that you'll be able to look at and make comment on in your deliberations, and then you will have an opportunity to forward that as your recommendation to the City Council. It doesn't happen overnight because we have to distill everything and
by tomorrow, okay?
Well, it would be once the 7 days is over. We would take your initial comments, some of the things you said tonight on that, and some other things, well, we've already begun putting together.
Right.
And get it to you, you know, before your next meeting in January that Virginia was staying for, and that would be your deliberation. And if you liked everything that, you know, the original document with these changes, then that becomes your recommendation to the
city. As long as that's in your time frame, we're good.
It could be January. I mean, and you'd be, and then, you know, for the councilors, I mean, it would be coming to you then for a work session, probably shortly thereafter in public hearing. So we'd be looking at, you know, end of January, February, March for work sessions, public hearing, deliberation, possibly adoption.
Okay, now it goes to them, and then they open a public hearing?
Just same like process. Work session, go through the documents, and it'll be on their time frame as they want to move forward, and then public hearing, public comment, and then a final document and adoption by ordinance.
Do we get ahead of the comp plan, or we have to wait, or does it matter?
Doesn't matter. In fact, the compliance schedule that was submitted with this particular grant requires us to be zippity-doo-dah and done by March.
I wanted to ask you, where are we on the comp plan?
They're still reviewing the documents to give us a letter of what they think we need. Mm. And I'll just leave it at that.
So they're asking us to send things back to them that we sent them in the first place.
Yes.
Oh.
Mm. It's more than annoying. Mm.
Well, probably with the council, would we want to have a separate meetings probably for, because they've never sat through any of this, so
Well,
it's almost educating them at the same time. So we'll do a in between our two meetings, probably have a Wednesday night where we, because you're going to have to go, I mean, start from soup to nuts, basically. Before you can hold a hearing, you kind of got to know what it is you're having a hearing on.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it at the same time. You get educated, I guess, but.
And Commissioner Mullinex was concerned about chickens.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
And so that might come up, you know, as
yeah,
a
you've been
tweak.
You've been kind of hard on chickens. You've got two or four?
Four, no roosters.
On two that we can see.
Four
you
hands.
Can have more than four chickens in Redmond and Bend, can't you?
Four per quarter acre.
So it may require. This is a small meat. Most people that have chickens don't stop at four. I mean, and so, you know, usually you're going to end up with a dozen. Mm-hmm. So you can have a dozen eggs. But,
right. Well, I'm wondering why discriminate against the pigs.
Because you get one egg a day.
For chickens. Yeah, Ken mentioned to me in there that we were little worried about chickens. And, you know, that's one that will rile people up that maybe we don't need, you know, you don't need to incite a riot over it.
Well, we discussed if we name each chicken, they're actually cats.
So it's a great chicken caper.
If they're documented with names,
it doesn't count. Who cares if we spend an hour on chickens at the rest?